More of Lake Effect Now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Joy Powers. While most of us will never own a Picasso or a Rembrandt, many of us do have collections of artwork or objects that have value to us. Some people have family photographs, paperwork, or even a piece of antique furniture. How we handle and store these items can keep them safe for future generations or allow them to deteriorate. John Shannon of Milwaukee's Guardian Fine Arts Services wants to make sure your valuables, whatever they are, survive and retain that value. Lake Effect's Bonnie North met Shannon at the company's storage facility and art gallery on West St. Paul Avenue to learn more about the services Guardian provides.
We're providing storage, transportation. We create inventories for our clients. We connect our clients with other professionals who can do appraisals. And if clients are interested in selling work, we connect them with proper channels to sell their work.
Okay, so let's break it down a little bit. When you talk about storage, what are some of the things that you have to take into consideration to safely store works of art?
Well, the principle is the environmental controls that we have, and those are equal to what the Smithsonian Institute has in Washington, D.C. and in their storage facilities. That is, temperature of 70 degrees Fahrenheit, 50% relative humidity, and we do not vary from that at all, not significantly. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Changes in temperature and particularly humidity are very damaging to works of art, but also other things which we do store here, such as musical instruments, antiques, firearms, collections and tangible valuables of all sorts. Our services are broad, just the way the Smithsonian Institute is broad. And we provide services for private collectors, estates, and museums here at Guardian.
I was going to ask you about the museum piece, because a lot of museums, of course, have their own storage and with the same kind of degree of temperature control and environmental control, but a lot of museums don't have enough storage. So are you providing for the overflow in museums?
Yes, we provide for overflow. They oftentimes don't have enough space. They're really focused on exhibition and education. Storage is something that they can do sometimes under their own roof, but storage is not really what a museum is about. It's about exhibition and education. So whether it's in Milwaukee or Chicago or New York, a lot of art that museums have is professionally stored by independent contractors like Guardian.
Interesting, because I think it's 5% of any collection at any given time in a museum might be on display, if it's that much. So you've got the other 95% that's got to go somewhere and be safe.
Exactly. Yeah. And therein is one of the reasons why we started Guardian. My wife and I, Jan Sayre and I, had a substantial, a modest collection ourselves, and we could no longer store it at home. It was too much, and we also recognized that we weren't storing it under the proper temperature and humidity. So we looked out, we asked people in the community, where can we store our collection? And we were told there is no facility in Milwaukee, none in the state of Wisconsin. We were told that museums in Milwaukee and in Madison went to Chicago for professional services, for storage, for transportation. So being an entrepreneur...
I was going to say, a little opportunity arose.
It was
there.
An opportunity. We had a personal need, but also I've had several companies in my past that I've started, and I said, well, let's put together something here in Milwaukee, and with some false starts, but eventually we purchased this building on West St. Paul Avenue, and we're delighted to be here servicing Milwaukee and Madison and points beyond.
I would say the rest of the state of Wisconsin, if you're the only one doing this kind of thing here, I imagine there have been people reaching out all over.
We've been open for about 2.5 years. In this time, we've worked with at least a dozen museums in the state of Wisconsin. We do work for them, storage, building furniture for them, display furniture, building crates for the shipment of their art, and we'll connect museums and private collectors with museums elsewhere in the United States. It's quite amazing. I didn't realize how much art moved around the country, and there are some very nice collections of art in Milwaukee that are exhibited all over the United States. And we're now beginning to be part of that network. It's kind of the maturing of Milwaukee as an art hub and raising the profile of Milwaukee nationally.
I was always amazed. I remember this was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, the Milwaukee Art Museum did something with private collectors in the city. And I interviewed a number of them and talked about the works that they had on display and how they started their collections. And it was astonishing to me that there were so many. And with such, the collections had such depth. That this wasn't just like somebody went, oh, I like that, and I'm going to hang it on my wall. This was very much a passion, but also a very informed passion. That this was not just, oh, I like this, and I'm going to throw it together. There was a lot of thought behind this, and that these collections have national and international interest.
Yes. And people who collect also are concerned about the long-term value of what they've collected. They've worked hard and created a nice collection. They want to preserve that collection. And in time, they realize through experience, sometimes not good experience, that if you hang something on a wall in a bright light, it fades. Colors change. And so a good collector, take art down off of a wall, let it rest, put something new up. It's good for the art. It preserves value. Also, you start seeing, if you move art around a little bit, you see it differently. And you may have had it up in one place, move it to another wall, another room, you'll see it differently.
Do you find that in the 2.5 years that you've been open, that educating collectors is part of what you're having to do on how to store, how to transport, how to think about the art? Or are they coming to you already pretty knowledgeable in that?
Bonnie, it's a little bit of both. There are some very sophisticated, knowledgeable collectors. That said, even the best collector sometimes will not have a work on paper framed properly because 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the materials available weren't as archival as they are today. So people can know that they should do something, but they may have some legacy art that needs to be refreshed, reframed, And it may be artwork that has great value. It may also be personal art, family photographs, family documents that they want to preserve. And we can help, and we do help people do that.
I was going to say, yes, that's something that people don't think about, that you have maybe somebody's marriage license from 100 years ago, and you want to keep that as a family heirloom, as something to pass down, and you don't want it disintegrating in an envelope somewhere.
Look at what happens to a newspaper, which is out exposed to the elements in just a week or two. It yellows, becomes brittle. Well, in truth, even the best paper will be affected by light, by humidity, and there are some documents, family documents, that you simply don't want to lose. One of the other things, Bonnie, and we've seen this, I've seen this, and our people have seen this, people will have family collections, antiques, artwork, and they haven't really created an inventory of what that is. They don't necessarily know what its current value is. Some of it may be much more valuable than they ever imagined. Some art prices have gone up greatly. And a family hasn't necessarily planned where the art is going to go, where the antiques are going to go, where the jewelry is going to go. And we've seen instances where people have said, oh, mother promised that bracelet to me. And someone else in the family say, oh, that bracelet, she promised it to me. And that, you never want to see that in a family. It would be much better to have an inventory, a value, and a identification, this goes to a daughter, this goes to a son, this goes to a granddaughter.
It's almost like an addendum to a will, that you'd want to have that inventory and that disposition.
People do this with financial assets, stocks and bonds, but it's rare that they do it with tangible property, and that's where we come in.
Okay. Have you seen in the time that you've been open a shift away from what you thought you were going to be doing to what you're actually doing? Has it expanded more than you thought it was? Did you think you were going to just be storing art initially, and now it's all of these other things? Or did you always have in mind that it was going to be all of these other things?
Okay, to be honest, I thought it was going to be a storage business. That's why we bought this 5-story concrete and brick building. And, yes, that is a good portion of our business. But what we've also found, that transportation, creating personal inventories for people, packaging and shipping art between people's homes, that kind of, I never expected the services side of the business to be as large as it is. So it's very gratifying, and just as with many things in life, you plan one thing and you discover, well, life takes you in a different direction.
So the universe had other ideas.
Yes.
Yeah, to have something local here. And I'm thinking back to what you said a little while ago about how it's the maturing of Milwaukee. And in the 14 years I've been here, when I first got here, there would never have been a business like this. Nobody would have thought it was necessary. Nobody would have thought, oh, you know. And in the last 5 years or so, things have changed so much. But over that almost 15 years, you know, now your company is absolutely needed. And not just for one or two very wealthy people who have collections. You know, and I think that's what a lot of people would have thought before, is like, oh, this is for the very rich, and I don't fit that, so I don't need this. But I think a lot of people are now discovering they do.
I'm pleased that, yes, we do have some clients who are wealthy and well-known. I can't reveal their names because privacy is one of the features that we have at the business. But we also have people who have collections of personal documents, things that are valuable to them. We have a client who has a collection of rock and roll posters that this individual has collected over the years, many of them signed. And a Bonnie a poster for a musical event is not printed on good paper. It's very ephemeral, very just it's up for a few weeks and then taken down. And this individual, knowing that, wants the posters stored here so that long term they the color, the paper has will be good. It'll look as fresh 10 years from now as it did when it was first exhibited.
And I'm thinking also that come the day when it goes to a library collection for people to do research, it's already preserved and ready to go into the library's ability to, you know, to keep things. Because most libraries, good libraries, will have that ability, right?
Right. And institutions are very picky that way. If they have two examples of something, one is faded, corners on the paper are bent, you can see that it's not fresh, and then you have an identical poster, say, that's clean, fresh, nice colors, the institution, the museum will pick the best. Yep. That's what they want to exhibit. That's what they want in their collection. So really, this is working with us is preserving value, protecting value.
And so how do you talk to people who might not think they have anything of monetary value? You talked about something that's personally valuable. You know, this is important. So how do you talk to them to say, you know, this is worth preserving properly? How do you try to convince them?
Well, it is one of the misconceptions is that, of course, we're going to be very costly, and we're not. We, unlike large cities, Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, that have minimum requirements for storage, where you've got to have 50 cubic feet or they won't talk to you. They charge you for 50 cubic feet no matter what it is. We go down to 1 cubic foot. And so we're modest in our expectations. We're here as much as a community service as we need to be, conduct ourselves in a business-like and professional way. But we're Midwest in our expectations of working with people. Our charges are very modest.
And I'm also thinking in terms of education, going out and telling people, you know, this is worth preserving. I think a lot of people don't think the stuff they have is.
Yes, that's true. And things go in and out of fashion. It's good sometimes to have to think long term and not short term, mm-hmm. whether it's a stock and bond or even a collection of furniture or paintings.
Things do come back around, don't they?
Yes.
That cycle happens. Well, John Shannon, I want to thank you so much for taking some time out of the day to talk about this service. We will, of course, post things on our website, and if you have any pictures you want to share with us, we'll happily put them up.
Very good. It was very nice talking with you, Bonnie.
John Shannon is the founder of Guardian Fine Art Services, located on West St. Paul Avenue in Milwaukee. He spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North,